Among others, it was St. Augustine who once said, and I'm paraphrasing here, Jesus reached up and pointed to the moon, and all we do is talk about his finger. Make no mistake, friends, I completely understand where the disciples are coming from in this week's gospel. Because it seems like every other turn, Jesus is praying. In this morning's text, he's off in a certain place praying. Other times, the disciples have lost him and have to search high and low only to find him deep in prayer. Over and again in Luke's gospel, it seems that Jesus is off alone in prayer a lot. It's like a thing for him. And this is not lost on his students, so they ask him, maybe they even implore him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Once again, I get that. Really, I do. Even for someone like me, right, who does this for a living, I find myself all too often looking at the finger and lamenting the absence of the moon. So I have great compassion for these disciples. I can imagine them in this story waiting patiently as he prays. Sitting off at a distance, watching, wondering. And I imagine that as soon as he has finished, they cannot help themselves. And so this time, one of them speaks up, Master, teach us to pray. And this longing of the disciples is not a unique experience. For I know that in my life as a priest, this is one of the most yearned for and yet unresolved aspects of many followers of Christ. We often know that something is missing, that something is yet unfulfilled. What I'm hoping this morning is that through this text and through other texts, three aspects of prayer will be revealed, and that we might come closer to the moon. I was recently graced with a stunningly beautiful book that has opened my heart and my imagination towards God in ways that have necessarily sustained me. The book is entitled My Bright Abyss. My Bright Abyss, and is by a poet named Christian Wiman. You may have seen a review of it in a May New Yorker, or heard about him on the show On Being, or read interviews with him in various magazines. He may not say it, but I find him to be a mystic, one who speaks in the words of our day and still manages to point to the eternal. Wiman spent a good deal of his adult life as a non-believer and lived it quite well, thank you. But it was when two events of his life overwhelmed the boundaries of reality, that of finding abiding love and then the diagnosis of a rare form of cancer. It was in the wake of these events that the practice and beliefs of Christianity began to find purchase. It was also when he, someone who prizes agency and intellect, when he began to butt up against some of the very practices that he had disregarded for years. Practices like prayer. Wiman writes that he never felt comfortable praying, and yet what he talks about in his struggles, what he offers about prayer, gets to the heart of what I want for us to explore today. Because as I said, his struggles with prayer, well, I find that in this he's not alone. And for Wiman, it's not just the mechanics, you know, the pointing of the finger, if you will, Right? The challenge isn't just trying to find the right words or the right time or the rhythm. And it's not just about the efficacy, as in, can this practice really change the world? It seems to me that one of Wyman's most basic concerns is the encounter within prayer. This is what he writes. At such moments, as in prayer, it is not only as we are suddenly perceiving something in reality we had not perceived before, but as if we ourselves were being perceived. As if we ourselves were being perceived. It is as if the interstellar spaces and all the random atoms into which we will one day vanish turned into a kind of incomprehensible but utterly comprehending attention toward us. It is as if oblivion whispered in our ears. This is the first revelation that comes from prayer, that somehow when we enter into this space, with words or without, as we are attentive, we are already being attended to. But first we must trust. In fact, Wyman offers the famous words of Simone Weil, we must believe in the real God in every way except that he does not exist, for we have not reached the point where he might exist. Right? This first step of leaning into trust is the most basic element, and for some of us, the most trying. For when we pray, directing all of us to what is yet beyond, we are trusting that there is something out there that wants the same. Without this trust, our words, I don't know if you've ever felt this, but our words can just feel like sawdust in our mouths. But when we are able to give ourselves over, again, it is something I cannot explain, but I know to be true, that there can be a palpable sense of being trusted in return. The foundation for our trust can be found in this bizarre story that follows the brief prayer for the disciples. And this is the second revelation of prayer to explore this morning, and that is the nature or the character of God. Now remember that in the context of the first century in Palestine, hospitality was not just valued, it was sacred. So no matter your resources, when a guest arrived at your home, it was paramount to provide for them. And so, in this story we wonder, even when the door is bolted and the fire is banked, and for God's sake the children are finally asleep, what will the friend do? Well, for our 21st century ears, it may either involve directions to the nearest 24-hour Safeway or some choice words about where to put those three loaves of bread. And yet, as true as that may be for us, this is not what is heard by those listening to this story at that time. For even with all these complications, right, in this culture, of course a friend would respond. And even more so will our God. In this teaching on prayer, Jesus reveals that it is in God's essential nature to give us each day our daily bread, no matter the hour of the night. The third revelation of prayer is what God reveals in us. For when we are honest with God, and I mean really honest with God, as honest as we are in our most intimate and vulnerable relationships, right? Because prayer is an expression of relationship. When we are honest to God, when we lay out our aching pain or our coursing fear or our unexpected joy, it necessarily changes us. The encounter is its own revealing. When we are honest in our prayer, when we reveal in ourselves just what daily bread might be, right? What kind of sustenance we truly need and not what we merely want. When we are open in prayer, holding up to God the bitterness that we hold for others, asking for release, it reveals what is released in us. And when we pray, asking for deliverance from that which imperils our faith, it reveals that which holds our hearts. Now, with all this in mind, I came across an analogy recently that might reveal a recognizable approach to prayer. And this analogy likens prayer to a vending machine. And specifically, a vending machine that requires exact change. For often we ask for what we need, but feel like if we don't have 3/4 a dime and a nickel, then we are out of luck. No food here. If we don't have the right words in the right order, then nothing will come tumbling down that cosmic chute. Which for me often leads me back to the finger pointing at the moon. And back to our gospel text. Because using these words we heard today, or the words of the Our Father that you find in Matthew's slightly different version, that's fine. It's good. Right? Because as I've said, these words reveal something about God that we need to hear. But friends, what is most important, and this is hard for us in the Anglican or Episcopal tradition to hear because we place such a high value on words, the right words. What is most important is that these words serve to focus our attention, that they lead us into a place within ourselves, within our community, within our creation, in which we can trust. Right? Even if it begins with just this much trust. Trust that God is attending to us even as we are attentive. That the God who conceived us in love waits even more now to receive us. And that as we pray, this God will be revealed in us. For in this we trust, as we rise in the morning, as we lay ourselves down to sleep, we trust in this gift of daily bread, in the forgiveness of ourselves and for our forgiveness of others, and for the deliverance in times of trial. Friends, if these words help, then by all means, use them. If the silence speaks, listen. Use the fingers which reach into the night sky, but trust that you will see the moon.